Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at
Sunlight Tech. Anyone doing that one?
Which one?
Saturday.
I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
30 days in the hole.
Yeah, nice.
30 days in the hole. 30 days in the hole.
Lord, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
Hello. You're up.
Hello.
Yeah. Everybody's here, and we're on almost on time. Almost. We're getting better.
I was on time.
Jeez. I think he has an opening, and there's dead air. What's going on?
Didn't want to walk through it.
Walk through it?
The opening.
Oh. Okay. I see. How was your week, Bob?
Hey, it was another week.
I
I'm
hear
training
you.
People, so it kind of sucks, but it's all right.
Yeah. Another week. That's all it is. We save an hour this week, though, or today.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight, not today, tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't hear an echo. I can't hardly hear Bob, though.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now that you got us off the speakerphone.
Well, I wasn't on the speakerphone. I'm trying to get adjusted.
Oh, you're trying to get adjusted.
Yeah.
2 minutes into the old show here, and you're going to get adjusted.
I got to get the spit tune in the right place. I got to get the ashtray in the right place. I got to get my cigarettes in the right place. Okay, I'm there.
Yes, sir. I'm all ears. Well, what do you got this week, Bob? What's going on?
Well, of course, everything. The only thing you hear about on the news now is this health care thing.
Yeah.
And your woman. I mean, that's all you've been hearing. But, you know, I guess they still haven't figured out why she made the remark on that hot mic about don't put me in this position.
No, she said don't do this to me.
Don't do this to me, gal.
Huh? What's that?
Who are you talking about?
You were talking.
Oh.
I just said, I heard that I watched the tape that I don't know who she was talking to, either her lawyer or the senator or congressperson, that she said, don't do this to me.
I think it was her lawyer. The guy that was up right on her right side shoulder. I think that's what he was a lawyer. Or
okay.
One of the Justice Department sent down to try to cover her butt, I guess.
Well, somebody's got it. Obama didn't know nothing about it until he seen it on the news.
Yeah, well, of course.
Kind of watch the news. That's the only way. Place he gets his information.
That's what he says.
That's his words, not ours.
No, you're right. That's his words.
You know, that's like I said, that's basically this all been on the news. It's all about this healthcare thing. And the more that I keep looking and hearing and seeing and this, I mean, we have always thought that this was going to be a disaster, but I don't think that we thought it was going to be as bad as what's going on. Did you?
No. No, I didn't.
I mean, I think we all knew it was going to be a change. I think I knew it was going to be the fact that there was going to be some you know, some bad things in it. But, Jesus, this thing is a total goddamn disaster.
Well, yeah, and I don't know too many 60, 65, 70-year-old men or women that need prescriptions for
birth control.
Birth control.
And maternity care.
Yeah, but you got to have it in this, and it doesn't matter how old you are. That's why so many claiming everybody's getting kicked off of their health care, because he set a minimum of what you got to have, and then these people, you know, their minimum didn't hold water.
Well, their minimum didn't hold water, but it held water for what they were using it for. You know,
right.
You said, a 60-year-old man don't need birth control, so he wouldn't want to have anything to recover anything to do with birth control.
Right.
You know, so, but, you know, somebody's got to pay for the freebies, and that's basically what's happening. Hospitals now are saying that they're afraid that they're going to be eating a lot more so your hospital, like if you have to get admitted to the hospital, you think paying it now is bad? That $9 aspirin's bad now?
Oh, yeah.
So this shit kicks into effect, you know?
Right.
They're setting these deductibles up to be so high. I mean, you know, people are going to are getting these, quote, cheaper, you know, trying to find what's suitable for them. Okay, but the bottom line is the deductible's gone up, and your co-pays are going to go up. So when you go into a hospital and you got to be admitted and your co-pay is so many thousands of dollars, and then you're going to sign off to this hospital saying, okay, I don't have $1,000, but they got to treat you anyway still, from what I understand. They can't not treat you because you don't have your copay. Then you're basically saying, okay, well, you know, I owe you whatever the copay is, $2,000, $3,000. And they're afraid they're not going to get their money because these are the same people that couldn't afford the health care to begin with, without these higher deductibles. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
So,
you know, the thing about people going bankrupt with because of catastrophic healthcare or, you know, catastrophic accident or something or an illness in the family and stuff like that, they never really researched into this because depending based on what your income is, they can actually only, if they take you to court, they can only, like, I think it was 3%, it might have gone up to 5%. They can only garnish 5% of what your pay is to pay that bill down.
Right, they can only sue you for a certain percent of your pay, of what your income is.
And if you voluntarily say, hey, I'll make a $10 a month payments, and you voluntarily start doing that, they can't turn around and take you to court because you're making payments.
Exactly.
That whole myth about the catastrophic care, you know, people going into bankruptcy because of medical bills is all bullshit.
Yeah, just chalk that up with a bunch of, you know, some more lies.
I had an emergency room visit when I didn't have health insurance. And as long as I was paying at least, you know, the $10 a month that I said I would pay, sometimes I paid more depending on what my tips were and stuff like that, they couldn't do anything, and they couldn't stop it either.
Okay.
So, well, I'm just saying.
I don't know how many times Obama said you keep your doctor, you can keep your insurance. I don't even have a clue how many times, but now everybody knows.
I said this once or twice, but it bears repeating. And you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it. If you like the plan you have, you can keep it. If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you've got health insurance, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it. If you like the insurance plan you have now, you can keep it.
And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it.
So if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan.
All right, I think we get the point.
I think it was 30. They've got it recorded.
Yeah, it's he's unbelievable. And he didn't know this, right? Now it's come out. They all knew it for 3 years, the Democrats.
Yep.
And Obama knew it for 3 years, but he kept saying it. That was from the last ones from 2010, and it keeps going up. Like 2012, he said it. 2013, he said it. And they knew all along that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe everything this man tells me.
Yeah, really. Now I also heard that there was a case where there was I don't know if it was a lady, or, I don't remember if it was a lady or a man, but anyway, they had their own doctor, and they kind of lived a border state. And I know the state that they lived in was Pennsylvania, but I don't know, you know, where they would drive to, but their doctor was in another state. Well, under this Obamacare thing, you can't do that. You can't leave. You can't have a primary doctor outside your state. It was closer for them to drive to this other state's doctor's office than it was to drive to a doctor's office in the state that he was in the Pennsylvania is what I'm being, the way that I understand
yeah.
it. So he can't use his doctor anymore. And so he's got to find a new doctor in Pennsylvania. And I thought that was kind of out there.
Some top-notch hospitals and doctors have already said they're quitting, and the hospitals will not accept anything from Obamacare.
Anything from the exchanges,
which is
for people down here. Herman is actually talking about that, and Herman Hospital is one of the biggest hospitals down here in the Houston, Katy. And surrounding area. So, can't go to Herman. You're going to have to drive into Houston to go to a hospital.
And those hospitals will stay online as long as they break even, but when they realize they're going to lose money,
they're going to
because this Obamacare, these damn doctors don't even know how much things are going to cost. Not a bit. They don't. I've seen 5 or 6 interviews now with doctors that have no clue how much things are or how much they're going to get. It's just, this is ill-advised. I don't know. Just pissing people off.
Now, they asked this one person that was in an emergency room that didn't have insurance, and of course they have to treat them if it's an emergency. But they asked him, was he had plans to join the Obamacare plan, and his answer was, why would I? Why should I? If I come here, you have to treat me anyway because that's federal law anyhow. So why should I pay for my insurance? Why should I pay for insurance?
Good point. Why should he?
You know, and he's right. Good point. Why should he? Now, of course. So, like
Hello?
I said, why should?
Yeah, they're predicting that until the penalties or your fee for not having insurance rises up enough, that a lot of younger and healthy people are not going to get into it.
No, they're not. And they would rather pay the penalty. It's going to be cheaper than how much it's going to cost them.
Well, they were talking to some kids that were out of college and not working in their field yet, but were working, but were kind of, you know, either in a big roommate situation or having to live with their parents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, why would I go out and pay the extra money when it's cheaper to pay the penalty and I don't need to go to the doctor right yet? And why wouldn't I wait until they got all the bugs fixed out of it? Give it a couple of years at least to settle down. Which right there puts a hit on the whole Ponzi
the whole system.
Team.
And that's what it is, Ponzi. The younger people pay for the old people. Sort of like Medicaid, huh?
Yeah. So did anybody see the picture of the Tennessee senator giving Kathleen
Sebelius.
Thank you, Sebelius. A book called Websites for Dummies.
No, I didn't see that, but I read about it.
Yeah. She was in Memphis to kind of do a teaching and outreach session.
Well, yeah, how to build a website for dummies. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's, this thing's cost us billions or millions. And I guess the first lady's friends are hired now to fix that for them. So they'll be up and running. They got you.
Wasn't it the first lady's friend was on there originally?
I don't know. Till the end of November, we'll see.
Well, I hear Google's going to fix their stuff now.
Apparently, they called everybody they could think of to come and work on this thing. They wanted McAfee to do it. McAfee, and then they called back and said, can you do it over the phone? Now, how stupid are you? Now, if you're that stupid, you don't deserve to be in the White House. And I'm not talking about Obama. I'm talking about somebody in his administration. That's probably what he's got, some real dummies working for him.
Well, from what I also understand this is what I heard tonight, that's why I said Google. Google was going to go over, apparently, and they're shutting down the site, and it ain't going to be open till tomorrow afternoon, I think is what they said. And it's a scheduled shutdown because they're going to be working on the system. That's why I thought they said, that's why I was assuming it was Google, because that's who they were talking about.
And people that sign up for it better realize your social security number, everything is left out there to be taken. And there's a little warning on there that tells you, but how many people read the, you know, that kind of information? Not many. So be careful if you sign up for that mess.
No. Donnie, my boss, remember I told you my boss has problems with his lungs? Well,
mm-hmm.
He went last week to go get scanned. And he does this, I think it's once every 3 months or 2 or 3 months. Well, anyway, he went in last week to get his lungs scanned, and they handed him some papers that he had to fill out, and it had to do with the new Obamacare crap. And even though he's not on the Obamacare program, that these are forms that they have to you have to fill out. One of the questions on there that he was telling me was, what was your sexual preference?
Really?
Yep. How many people live in your house was another question on there. And there was other ones, but those two popped out at me real quick, especially the one about your sexual preference, like it's any of their business. But that was asked, how many people live in your house and what's your income?
That's crazy.
Household income.
But, what does that have anything to do with anything, right?
Exactly. And he said that when he filled it out, he was just putting crazy answers into it and handed it back to them. They didn't even look at it. I mean, he filled it out right. And he asked them, he said, aren't you going to look at that? And they said, no, not really, because we already know most people aren't going to answer these questions and answer them truthfully. But this is something we have to hand out to everybody.
God, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
It doesn't surprise me, but
those were the ones that popped out, you know, to me, to being, you know, kind of weird. Well, you know, something that totally shouldn't be asked. It has nothing to do with getting, you know, health care.
Well, I don't understand why they're being so intrusive. But they are. They get all your information from Obamacare. Of course, the NSA gets all of it when they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're apologizing to the foreign countries for spying on them, but it's okay that they spy on us.
Well, I was going to say, it's coming out that, remember last week I was talking about the British NSA, and it's called the G something, I can't remember what it is, but...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're really heavily, they're doing pretty much the same thing the NSA is, and they're trading information back and forth, and it's coming out now that the British GH something... They were collaborating with other European nations. So, you know, Germany getting shocked over America, it's coming out that, you know, nobody was really trusting anybody and everybody was being spied upon. Now it just has to get down to what citizens were being spied on.
Well, and like I hear all the time, I don't do anything anyway. I don't say anything I don't want people to know. That's not the point. That isn't the point at all. I don't say anything that I'm ashamed of either.
Well, speaking of the NSA, the site that I went to get like our business cards printed off,
mm-hmm.
that it's called Zazzle. They also print off custom T-shirts. And they've got a bunch that they've made up themselves, so you can get, you know, funny mugs or T-shirts.
Yeah.
And they've got one that I saw on it. And it's got the little symbol of NSA and, you know, like a little logo, so it looks like it. And then it says, I'm looking for what it said, but pretty much what it said is the only department of the government that's actually listening.
Yeah.
Just parodies.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Another one said peeping while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, spying on you since 1959.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Well, the NSA got a little ticked and sent them a letter, a cease and desist letter.
Yeah, how in the hell can they get away with that? It's a private business.
Well, it says that... as far as the Act of 1959, the National Security Agency Act, it says that a broad ban on the use of the words National Security Agency, the letters NSA, or any collaborative imitation of such words on any product which is in a manner reasonably calculated to convey the impression that such use is approved, endorsed, or authorized by the National Security Agency without the express permission of the agency itself is illegal. Now, I don't know why, you know, the only part of the government that actually listens would really make you think that that was really endorsed by the NSA.
Well, it's just the people, though, people are ignorant and they don't, you know, they don't read what we read. And they don't know, so. And I don't know half of this stuff. I learned from you. And Bobby, being quiet today.
Then they changed it, and they sent a letter threatening criminal prosecution, stating that it is a crime to mutilate or alter the seal of any department or agency of the United States. And they're thinking that this parody qualifies as mutilation.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So is the website going to change?
No.
Good. Good for them. You got to buy something. Buy something from them, you know? Hello?
Yeah, I'm just looking at their lawyer. I'm looking for his first name. Well, his last name is Levy. Said it's bad enough that these agencies have us under constant surveillance. Forbidding citizens from criticizing them is just beyond the pale. So he's disregarding right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see what finally comes down.
Who's disregarding what, and what is he disregarding?
McCall, the owner of Zazzle,
okay.
The guy that made up the T-shirts and the
all right, he's
disregarding it and still continuing to do.
Well, good. You know, go to court. Go. You know, Obamacare is back in court, and the high court. Well, they're not back in it yet. They a group put what do you call it? Not a request for the Supreme Court, but a brief. Filed a brief. And it's about Obamacare being, you know, telling Catholics that they have to buy the pill and other things to keep from getting pregnant. And that's against Catholics, their religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they're going to make old people buy it, why don't they make Catholics buy it?
I know, but they're attacking it in a different way. That the Supreme Court didn't tackle when they were just asked one question. You know, they go by what you ask them. If not, they tear it down and, well, this isn't right and this isn't right. So they had to come up with this argument that Notre Dame, for instance, that hires people shouldn't, they don't think they should support people that want birth control. Since they're against it, the religious on the religious grounds. So,
yeah. And abortion.
And abortion, right?
Yeah, the big ones they're screaming about is abortion.
Well, they're screaming about all of it. For really, it's crazy. We still
have Bobby. That's going to end up in the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. It's definitely going to end up there because, from what I understand, there was. Two or four different lower courts. Two ruled that they didn't have to pay to it, and two ruled that they did.
They did,
so so that's how it's going to end up in the Supreme Court. It'll eventually get there. How long it'll take, who knows. But, I mean, I understand the point. I really do. But... You know, just like Cinnamon said, why should a 61-year-old man have to pay for it, too? So I don't see that. But
I think
it's a different thing.
I think if they throw it out and say they can't force, say, a school like Notre Dame to pay for that, That opens the door for everybody that didn't want that to say, I will not pay for it because of my religious beliefs. I think
exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
And that supposedly will tear a big hole in Obamacare, but I don't see how, but it that's what they say.
Well, because what's going to happen is if that goes through and they say, okay, well, you don't have to pay for the abortion thing, then it's also going to be people that, you know, this other stuff that you have to pay for that you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it'll bring a lot of that up, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how they're figuring they'll just destroy the whole plan. But, you know, one more thing about the healthcare, that lady there. Did you see where they were, it was during the education and outreach session in Memphis on Friday, Republican Tennessee State Senator Brian Kinsley gave Health and Human Service Secretary Colleen, I always blow her last name, a book. Did you see the book that they gave her?
Yeah. We said that just a few minutes ago. Cinnamon did.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's like for dummies. That's funny.
She took off and you didn't tell us?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I must have got up and ran and shut the door because my oldest kid came in popping off at the mouth.
Yeah, we heard you had company or something.
Yeah, the Klan came in.
You've been wanting to say something, Cinnamon. Go ahead.
I was just going to say she was killing me when she was defending that men need maternity care also. I'm like, you've got to have a follow-up to make sure, you know, that everything's okay in, you know, the female area. You've got to follow up and make sure your hormones are all going okay and that breastfeeding is moving along just right. What the hell is a man going to do with maternity care?
I don't know.
It's not maternal leave where a man might use that. It's maternity care.
Well, I don't know. None of this makes sense to me.
They have butthole babies. How do I know?
I don't know either.
I have no clue.
I ain't going into that direction.
Well, that's the only thing you would come to logic, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Logic. All right, that's real good. Okay, it's shoot the health care in
the butt, okay.
And then move on.
Can we go into the gas prices?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
This week, what day was it this week?
It doesn't matter. It was this week.
It was this week. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday. Gas here jumped 38 cents.
It went
up.
38 cents.
Yeah, it went up 38 cents, Bob. It jumped. I mean, God.
So nobody starts, nobody, I'm checking on Facebook and stuff. Nobody's bitching and moaning about it. And I'm like, what?
Complaining and moaning.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to slap the crap out of me. Now, I guess I finally found an article in the Detroit Free Press, and it says that this is happening a lot in this area. So that's Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan. And it's because of our refinery is doing upgrades. And it's like a year-long upgrade thing. And so they only keep a 20-day supply in stock, where they used to keep 30- to 40-day supplies. Back in the 80s, most of the refineries are trying to do kind of on-time delivery. And so any little hiccup puts a hitch in our supplies, and we've got to get it from somebody else. And, of course, that makes the price go up. But we're getting so used to these price spikes I mean, 40 cents for God's sake, people. That that nobody's even complaining anymore. They were, let me see where it's at. Coke and Kokomo.
Indiana.
Indiana is the worst one in our area. And they say that there's a lot of, they interviewed a bunch of people at the gas stations, and most of the people were just stopping at the gas station to grab a pop or a coffee and then going on to work. And they said that they'll get their gas outside of Kokomo because you never know what the price is there. And it's more easy, it was easier to budget around their own hometown where gas prices don't spike like do the big fluctuations like it does in Kokomo. And then right next to that it says Flint, Michigan is second only to Kokomo in average daily price changes for the year.
Well, there you go. What else?
I was going to tell you how many times it's done it in this year.
Well, that's when you get your little yellow marker out.
Yeah.
Better wait 2 minutes before the show.
Just all right. So how much is gas around you, Bob?
How much is gas where I'm at?
Yeah.
298 to it's anywhere from 298 to 295 around in that area.
Yeah, let it go.
I was going to say something, but I figured I'd just let it go and I wouldn't say nothing because they're telling you a bunch of bullshit.
I agree.
Yeah, we're at 248.
Yeah.
No, I
they're telling you bullshit. I don't buy that.
Well, that's the daily volatility. And this is why we don't match the national average in the way the gas prices range. And like I said, we are Pavlov's dogs. No, there was nobody was bitching.
How many refineries you got up there? I mean, do you have any idea?
I don't know.
According to this, we've got one refinery.
And that supplies the whole state of Michigan?
Well, it says a major upgrade is underway at BP's enormous Whiting Refinery in northwest Indiana, and it processes 413,000 barrels of oil a day and serves much of the region, and that is partly to blame because construction has kept output lower, especially during the first half of 2013.
All right. No response? Nothing?
I
guess it depends if you only got one refinery.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought you had more than that up there.
No, according to this, it's also saying that there's 143 operating refineries, which is about half the total that was refineries that were around in 1980. So that's also had supplies do a quick drop.
Because they had a lot of them shut down.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the shutdown was because of regulations or something?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you're closer to that business than we
well,
are.
Well, not
I
at
mean,
the bad end. I mean, our end hasn't changed. Most refineries, before all these regulations and stuff gone through, they were all grandfathered in. That's why I don't know. That's why I was asking up at your end. I'll be able to find out.
I
will find out.
I know. It also says, you know, mostly the national average is done because of, you know, the supply and demand, Wall Street and mercantile, and then, of course, a barrel of oil, that kind of thing. But we get added in on the stupid refinery. Of course, this article doesn't say when this refinery is going to be up to 100%. So,
how far is Midland, Michigan from y'all?
Midland's not far. It's a couple hours.
I'd say about an hour.
Upper one is. I believe.
Yeah, not bad. Why?
Well, I thought there was, I was pretty sure there was a refinery there.
There might be, Bob. I don't know. I don't know. Well,
well
I know Miss.
I can pretty much say there's one there because I send shit up there all the time.
I know we have them in Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, then how would our gas prices be spiking in Flint?
That was my question. That's why I'm saying these people are filling y'all full of bullshit.
Yeah.
I can understand it if they're doing if they're upgrading, okay? Let's just say they're upgrading. Well, when they upgrade stuff like that and change pipelines and all that, they'll only do one reactor at a time. It ain't like they shut half the plant down. So that's what I don't understand. Usually
no,
they do one reactor at a time because, you know, every time one of these reactors shut down, they're losing a boatload of money. So I don't see them doing no more than one at a time. And, you know, I just can't see it making it bump like that. But, you know,
I don't either.
Well,
just, to me, it's
funny. Everybody else's gas prices are going down and y'all's are going up. You're starting to sound like California.
Freaking amazing. That is,
yeah.
And you're right.
And I don't, you know, I understand supply and demand, but, you know, from what I hear from most people, you know, jobs ain't too plentiful up there. There's a lot of people unemployed. So I don't see how supply and demand would become an issue. Simply because of the fact, like I said, you know, your unemployment is still up there, right?
Yeah, we're still, we've been above national
unemployment. So, yeah, so it ain't like people are going to their jobs, using gas to go to jobs, because there is none. You know, the unemployment's high. So, I don't know. That just sounds weird.
Yeah, yeah. Price gouging is just a dollar.
Well, that's kind of...
Well, you got any more on that?
But...
No, the other thing I didn't understand is they say they only keep like a 20-day supply instead of a 30 to 40-day supply. It saves them money by doing that. I don't understand.
Well, we have on-time delivery, too.
If they've got the storage capacity, I mean, realistically, the way it works is if crude oil is, let's just say, $80 a barrel. They'll buy a shitload of it at $80 a barrel and make a bunch of gas and store it so when the gas prices go up, you know, when oil goes up to, say, $90 a barrel, then, you know, the storage that they got, they'll jack that up to pay for the oil that's gone up so they don't lose any money. You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
If they had the storage capacity of holding, let's just say, a 30-day supply, why in the hell would they cut it down to 20 themselves? That's the part I don't understand either. And now use the excuse, well, we have a 20-day supply, but why is it only 20-day to begin with? If you had the, you know, I don't know. Sounds weird.
Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of bull to me, too. Just a perfect reason. It's kind of funny, though, in my small town, we've got a 2-lane highway, and the one, we've got 4 gas stations here. 2 of them go lockstep. You know, one increases the price, the other increases the price.
Sure.
The one gas station, they won't increase their price until they get their next delivery of gasoline. So price goes up. That place is packed. They're standing in the road waiting to get in on both sides on a corner intersection of 2 roads. And they're all lined up in the road. I'm like, yeah, we get another little gas increase. You're going to have to get the police out here to direct traffic.
that they could get in. Yeah. They usually know at least 30 days in advance before the gas prices go up. They know that from the brokers that they're buying it from. So these
I'll
other places sound like to me that they start jacking the price up 30 days before the price is actually going up.
Well, we've got an anti-gouging law here in Michigan, Grand Home put in.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they can jack the price up that soon before prices go up. Now, they don't do it first thing in the morning. They'll do it mid-morning or early afternoon.
Yeah.
Is when they, when they hit the prices. Because it was out while I was out running errands. We left town and gas prices were all low, came back into town. I was going to stop at that gas station that I was talking about because they had the cheapest cigarettes. And I'm like, no way in hell. It's just, it was packed. Everybody was trying to get into it. And it's a small place. I mean, it's only got, let me see, six. It's only got six pumps.
Jesus, shoot me in the head.
All right, what do you got, big guy?
No, it's not that. I mean, I think we kicked this one down, that can down the road, didn't
okay,
we?
Okay, so instead of doing and little things, why don't you just cut in and talk about something else?
I was waiting for you to tell me how many pumps were in Schwartz Creek, because that's interesting. Gee, help me, Bob.
Don't come crying.
And smack me upside my head.
Exactly.
I want your opinion, you and Cinnamon, on the executive order he signed Friday. You know what I'm talking about? Is everybody up on that?
Yes. The environment.
Yeah. What the hell do you think about that? And signing it on a Friday, so not many. I didn't hear it on any news. Did you? Anybody?
Yeah,
I heard it Friday night.
Is this legal or what the hell is it? He never, Agenda 21 where seven governors take over if there's an emergency, right?
Yeah.
And they announce there's seven governors. Well,
six Democrats and one Republican.
And the one Republican is Guam. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, in Guam. For the United States. And so they got six, and he makes the seventh. I don't know. It seems like FEMA, remember the FEMA districts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they got the same amount of FEMA districts as the governors, and that's what it says in Agenda 21. The president will appoint seven governors regionally.
Yeah, and they're supposed to jump in and help communities.
Yeah,
with environmental problems, anything from wildfires to drought.
Right, wildfires are on in this
flooding, heavy rainfall.
Yeah,
they got it all.
Yeah, pretty much everything you can think of. And I had an article on Agenda 21, and I don't know what happened to it.
And it wasn't, the way it was stated, it's not that they're going to help if these things hit you. If they're going to help you beforehand and learn how to deal with these things.
Oh.
So if they think that you're at a risk, they're going to come in and say, hey, you have to start doing this.
Yeah, I see.
So we'll see how it turns out.
See how that all stands, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't it's Mayor Nutter is also Houston Mayor Anise Parker. That's your mayor in Houston there, Bob.
That's not my mayor. Yeah, okay.
Good
bitch.
Of course, Governor Gary Brown of the freak state of California. Jack Markell of Maryland, or is that Delaware. O'Malley from Maryland. Anyway, all Democrats but the one from Guam. I haven't heard nothing on the news about that.
Yeah, I didn't hear the Republicans from Guam, though.
Yeah.
I did hear it was six Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I did, too, and I got the article finally, and it said that it stated the Republicans from Guam. Yeah, that's what we want. I don't know, he's all for the global warming. You can't get him off of that crap.
Well, that was another thing. This is, geez, let me see if I can find it. This has been a couple of weeks ago. They did on NPR, they did a thing about geoengineering.
Really?
And that they think that now, you know, now's the time.
Now's the time
now's
for geoengineering.
Time. Yep.
Good Lord. Well, now's the time, according to NPR, a liberal station that gets millions of dollars from our tax money.
Oh, they did an interview with a scientist. Yeah, to fix climate change, scientists turned to hacking the Earth. And they were talking about, remember we were talking about they put iron dust in the ocean. They put iron dust in the ocean to create a big algae bloom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. I didn't know it was.
Kind
yeah.
of soak up the carbon dioxide, and then all of a sudden we had all these big red algae blooms and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, they talked to some of the people that did this, and I guess they started it in Canada. It was a native community in Canada that decided to do a little experiment. And, of course, it was an American businessman that they partnered with to do it.
Hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they called it ocean fertilization. So they talked about that, and they also talked about getting carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And they talked about setting up machines to draw down CO2 and storing it somewhere, doing the ocean fertilization, planting more trees, painting your rooftops white, and then to try and make natural clouds brighter. And using volcanic aerosols. There you go. That's what they're spraying in the sky is volcanic aerosols.
Is that what it is?
No, but he did. But the one scientist did say that you can spray things into the cloud that help bounce some of the sunlight back away from the Earth. You know, bounce it back into space, so we're not absorbing all of it. So. There you go, roundabout way. It's coming out, people. You didn't believe about NSA spying on you, and pretty soon you're gonna know that there are a difference between contrails and chemtrails.
Yeah.
And they're getting smarter because you don't see the crisscross patterns anymore.
I don't anymore.
Like no, they make sure they're all going one way.
Yeah.
Because that way, then they can still say it's a cloud. It's one of those little drifty clouds. Because clouds do line sometimes, you know, and drift down. They don't look exactly the same, but. Yeah, they got a little smarter because people were showing the checkerboards a little too often, and how can you say that that's a natural phenomenon? But
yeah.
So
right.
There's more people poking around at it and saying this is something we should do. Now, of course, this guy said that we shouldn't do it without experimentation. You know, all of the computer projections look like this is going to work, but you don't know for sure. And he did say that there's not going to be any Dr. Doom out there or Dr. Evil scenario because he would have to have a great big airport and a big supply chain and planes going up all the time to be able to produce that kind of Dr. Doom scenario. And I wanted to go, yeah, come sit in my backyard, dude.
Yeah, really. They're spraying like they in this state, like they it if they are in other states, like they are in this state, they can do it.
Yeah.
Of course, Jerry Brown loves it.
Now, when we were down in Alabama, I kind of tried to pay attention to it, And they didn't spray, and I don't know if it's maybe the time of year, because that's another thing that they were talking about is the time of year to do it, you know, when clouds are going to be there, you know, kind of seeding before a storm,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And the weather was pretty good, but I didn't see, I saw only, I want to say like two or three times, and they only sprayed, I'd say like two or three trails where
yeah.
I can stand out in my backyard and count 10.
Oh, easy. It's easy. It's count 10. I don't know about Texas either. But in Michigan, they're bombarded.
Anybody? I live in
Michigan. Is that me? Is that me?
No, it's not.
Oh.
So any airline pilot, if you happen to be flying over Gaines and you see somebody giving you a big finger, that's just love from me.
Exactly. Now, have you heard from they interviewed a retired Army Major General Patrick Brady, and he said there's no doubt Obama is intent on emasculating the military and will fire anyone who disagrees with him. And the reason he's saying that is because all the generals and a tough few admirals have been fired this year.
Haven't there been 9?
I think it was 9. And he's a Medal of Honor winner. He's gone on record in speaking with news organizations about this mess of culling the high level of military officers on behalf of Obama administration. So why are they getting rid of all these top-notch?
I don't know. It seems a little weird because, yeah, they're
high
being,
level.
They're being asked to step down. They're not retiring. You know, it's more of a forced retirement.
They're fired. If some are fired and some are forced to retire, but what?
Well, that's what I mean.
They tell them to go. Well, why?
I don't know. It's got me a little worried.
Well, they one of the Secret Service for Obama is running for representative, I think. And don't ask me, I think it's Maine, Maryland, somewhere out east. And he said Obama, he treats America like a shiny new toy where he tinkers with it. That's what he's doing. He said he couldn't believe, you wouldn't believe things he's seen Obama do when it comes to or overheard things he's trying to do. But he wouldn't get into a lot of it because, you know.
Think we're going to make it another 2 years?
I don't know. 3 years, really. 3 years. I don't know.
Well, it's really only 2 years.
Who cares? This is his first year since being elected.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Where are you going? Bob's not even talking. You leaving me hanging?
Oh, yeah. I'm listening and eating candies.
I know you are. We hear every bit of it.
Oh, do you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm muted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
I go to open the next
care.
Packet.
You let me know, and then I'll just yell it louder. That's all.
Now, you told me 2 weeks ago to watch this movie.
What movie?
This one with Jesse Ventura. And I watched
movie?
And
what
for two
weeks. Tell him I don't even know what movie he was in.
It wasn't
what
a movie,
movie?
It was the caves.
The what? Oh, the caves in Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched, by the way.
Oh, very good.
No.
Pretty creepy, isn't it? Did you see that house?
Yeah.
A single dwelling house.
Family house? Mm-hmm.
72,000 square feet of single dwelling house.
Yeah. But I like the caves were kind of cool. But I got one question. How the hell did they get in there? They just drove in?
Well, if you notice, when they got on that whatever road that is, they went by all those green cars that were parked there. You see those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there was opening into the caves from there, mm-hmm. and I guess they just went around, went in and went the hell out. I don't know. But that's strange. They said that thing goes from Arizona. One of the truck drivers said from, what, Arizona to, I don't know if it's Washington, there's someplace in Virginia, all underground.
The tunnel. Yeah.
Yeah, the tunnel. Right.
Tucked out. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy. That's, that's nuts.
Underneath there?
I can't hear you, Bob. What?
I said they got farms, underground farms.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like a whole, it's basically like a whole goddamn city underneath there.
Yeah, it was, and that's what they said. It could be, well, did you see those heavy steel doors?
Yep, that they're going to weld shut. Yeah.
Right. That's crazy.
Now, do you remember what the name of it was called?
I can't hear you, Bob. What?
I said, do you remember the name? The name of the...
Name of what?
Hello?
Hello? I lost him, or they lost me. I don't know which.
Okay, I hear you now.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to remember. One of the report, the guys that was with them, was I'm trying to that was doing part of the investigation. Was the son of a director. I can't remember his name.
Stone. Oliver Stone.
Who?
Was his dad.
Oh,
Oliver Stone.
Yeah, his son. Yeah. Was that? But yeah, it's, you know, it's something people need to check out. It was real interesting.
And did you see, I can't remember the numbers. I mentioned them before, how many banks were in L.A. and how many were in New York. But you seen how many banks were in
how many banks they put, yeah, because the lady said that there, at one time there was only one bank for this town.
Yeah,
and now
she went by.
Yeah, and now there's like, eight. Or something like that.
I think
that.
There's one for every eight people. What did I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was
interesting. Make you want to say, what's going on there?
Yeah, why does that cave go all the way to Virginia and all the way out to Arizona? Underground.
Underground.
What are they hauling? Yeah, you're right. They have underground everything, water systems.
Yeah, it's all self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
The whole damn... It was a nice little cave.
And the banks, though, are the ones that give it away, I think. Is where no? How can you support all those banks for that small little town?
Because there's no way that those people can support all that. There's
no
way.
Somebody said on the show there was a lot of big money somewhere going in there.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's because they're putting all their capital.
I was going to say, the guy that owned the castle actually worked for the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. You remember that, Cindy? You remember it.
Yeah,
that's the lady said that's awful strange, and this is a lady from the town, that they went from one bank for everybody to one bank per eight people. I think it was eight. So that tells you there's something definitely going on in the Ozarks in Arkansas.
Well, I just wanted you to know I did see it. I did watch it.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Yes, I did.
Wow. now. Yeah, people ought to watch that. And you can get it on the internet. It's free on YouTube.
I think it's like 35 or 40 minutes long. But, it's worth watching. All you do is Google Ozark Jesse Ventura, and they'll take you to the site.
Right. Okay, go ahead, Cindy.
I was just going to ask, you notice how wasn't it only two episodes of Jesse Ventura's?
The last season he was on?
Yeah, for this year it was supposed to be.
I don't even know if he's not on this year. They canceled.
That's what I said. They only aired two episodes.
I don't know if it was this year or last season.
Well, we would be last season now because we're into a new season.
Okay. Highest rated show on that network, and they canceled it.
I think some of the problem too was the fact that he made these episodes, sent it to them, and they cut out a lot of them. You know, edit spot it. So I think it was kind of a mutual type thing. I mean, why go out, spend the money to make these shows and then send them over there for them to de-gut them? I think that was done on purpose.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But it was the number one show. It was definitely. And I've got to get this book. It's called Extortion. What's that?
I said, I can't find it.
I can't either.
I have to order it. It's going to take 5 days.
Yeah, I'm going to order it, too.
Yeah, you got to order it. Now, if you've got one of those readers, you can get it. You can download it, and it's like $11. Now, when you buy it in paperback or book form,
hardcover,
it's going to be $22.
Yeah, and here's a little. I guess Bonnier's chief of staff got a little hostile about it, and this is who is this? Lou Dobbs Show. As soon as I can get it up,
funnel money into the pockets of their wealthy friends and hopefully wealthy families. Joining me now, Peter Schweizer, president of the Government Accountability Institute and author of this explosive new book, Extortion, How Politicians Extract Your Money, Buy Votes, Line Their Own Pockets. Peter, good to have you here. Congratulations on the book. I've got to start with two terms I had never heard, and I've covered politics for a little while, but toll booths and milker bills. You lay it out in this thing, and it looks, by your account, like nearly everybody in one way or another is in on the scam in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Lou, there are a lot of people that are in on it. Milker bills don't have anything to do with the dairy industry. It's really an example of one of the techniques that they use to extort from the American people. There was a survey done, Lou, that asked business executives, why do you donate to political campaigns? And over half of them said the reason they did, the prime reason, was they feared that if they didn't, bad things would happen to them and their industries. Milker bills are basically a way to throw fear or to create fear in industries so where they feel the need to make donations to try to get something to go away. It's protection money, really, is what it is.
Protection money, and the same is true of the toll booth. You've also got double toll booth bills. You've got milker bills. That's where you can work everybody into the deal. You've got at least two people competing for the extortion opportunity. I mean, this is ugly, nasty stuff. By the way, Speaker Boehner, his spokesman, the Speaker's spokesman, it gets kind of complicated, Brendan Buck said that he, referring to you, should probably read Congress for Dummies before he starts making bogus and salacious claims to sell books. You gotten a little more kickback? Well, I mean, that's a bad word when we're talking about extortion. Let me rephrase it. Blowback from Washington?
No, not really. I mean, that's the only statement that was made. He started that statement by saying, I don't understand what goes on in Washington. I think the reality is I do understand what goes on in Washington. And what the Speaker's office and what his spokesman wants us to believe is that votes are held on certain days. And the fact that, say, 35 checks from a single company show up on the contribution list of the Speaker of the House the day before that vote is organized is just coincidence. And that this happens repeatedly is just coincidence is really a bit too much to take. The sad reality is that lawmaking and money-making are going hand-in-hand in Washington. And by the way, Lou, we have to remember that raising money for politics is not just about winning re-election anymore. They've created very simple ways to basically take money to enhance their lifestyles. So they're able to use money that they raise not only to win elections and to gain power, but to, you know, go to sporting events, go to five-star resorts, rent limousines, all the sorts of things they can't do with regular campaign funds. It's really quite extraordinary.
I want to look at one example, and that is the leadership PACs. And let's take Senator Saxby Chambliss, your example, Republican senator from Georgia. His leadership PAC spent, do we have that full screen? Golf outings, $10,000 on golf at Pebble Beach. Why mess around? $27,000 at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And he blew, apparently, or somebody did, $107,000 at the exclusive Breakers Resort in Palm Beach. That's pretty strong stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, Lou, if you're going to live, you might as well live large, right? Especially if it's on somebody else's dime. Yeah, that's what I jokingly say. You know, when they have these getaways, they don't go to the Hampton Inn or the Super 8. They go to five-star luxury resorts. You had Congressman Andrews from New Jersey who used his leadership PAC money to take the entire family to Scotland to stay at a resort.
A beautiful place.
Yes, a beautiful place, and no doubt about it. But this is the problem. You have this separation of the political class.
So is one party or the other more given to extortion than the other?
No, I think it's pretty common with both of them, sadly. And it's also the executive branch, by the way. I talk about in the book.
No.
It's hard to believe.
Well, we're going to save if we may, Peter, the executive branch for tomorrow night when Peter will be back with us. The book is Extortion. It's available online and bookstores now, and we recommend Peter's book to you highly. A terrific book, Peter, and terrific to see you. Let's continue the conversation tomorrow.
And I'm going to get tomorrow's.
What'd you say?
So there you go. I didn't get the next day's clip when he was going to talk about the executive branch, so we'll have to dig for that. I do want to get that book. Old Boehner has got caught with his hands in the drawers. All of them did, though.
Yeah.
All of them have, so. And Ron
in the
Paul also.
Jar? Or
yeah.
Not in their drawers?
Well, whatever. Yeah, you go to cookie, I'll do it my way. But Ron Paul, how many relatives he paid for to be on the dole? You know, they didn't stop at everything or anybody.
Yeah, most of his campaign people were family.
Yeah.
Most of, yeah.
And I think he had six or seven working for him when he was a representative, I think. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, morning of the bill, all of a sudden 35 checks came in. Just happened to come into old Bonehead's office. Yeah, there you go. And why he's a speaker? Because he brought in $200,000 like that. I guess you pay for your committee jobs if you want to be a committeeman on some kind of committee. Like any, you pick one. You got to put some money where your mouth is. You get Critic on here. I didn't even know he was here. Critic, how you doing, bud? Well, maybe he's not here.
I found the article that I was talking about. I didn't find it in the Guardian newspaper. I was looking for that one that I saved. But it's been reported in the DW, the German newspaper that I have. I can't pronounce it. And they just use the initials DW, so that's where we'll...
Yeah, and we'll go for that.
Yeah. It is Germany, France, Spain, and Sweden are carrying out mass online surveillance and wiretapping, working in collaboration with Britain. And it says that the Britain Electronic Surveillance Center is called the GCHQ, and we're playing a lead role in helping other countries circumvent laws that limit spying activities. And they're giving them technological tips on how to get past very restrictive laws that affect how the rest of Europe is supposed to be able to spy on their citizens. Now, of course, in this one, the Germany has pretty much said no, that's not true. We're not really. It's not true that the Federal Intelligence Agency allegedly tried to circumvent legal restrictions in order to use British surveillance technology. The spokesman for the BND, which is the German Federal Intelligence Agency. He does say that a regular exchange of information about technological developments takes place with other European agencies.
Oh, yeah. So, that's all they talk about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's what that's pretty much what it is. So they're doing widespread cell phone and internet spying also. So they're gonna, Snowden's gonna pretty much, embarrass the shit out of them too, especially with them bringing up arms. Now they're saying that Merkel, the only reason that she started to get all fired up about it was because the German public got pissed and were pretty much calling for her to do something. She was pretty much, we do it too.
And spies on us too, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's spying on everybody around here. I know Clapper said that Obama and other presidents, he didn't name other, but you can probably guess, knew all along that that they were spying on foreign leaders, friendly nations. So, he came out and said they knew it. And he's the Director of National Intelligence.
Well, I mean, if you're in the spy game, wouldn't you think everything that you're doing, that somebody's doing it back at you?
Well, you would think.
I mean, come on. But now you didn't hear that.
And this has been going on for years anyway.
Say that again?
Yeah, it has been, Bobby. He said it's just been going on for years.
Sure. Yeah.
The only difference is the idiot we got now got caught. Just like, he gets caught on everything. He just got caught.
Well, it wasn't so much the spying on other countries thing. It's the spying on private citizens that had no attachment to terrorism or possible terrorism or anything like that. They're just regular Joe Blow down the street, and they're scooping up your information. Now, Greenwald's partner, the reporter. Okay, I guess nobody's listening.
Yes, I am.
Has been accused by England of espionage and terrorism.
Yeah,
for carrying papers.
Yeah, I've seen that. I thought I saved it too. I was trying to think if I did. Yeah, that's interesting.
Terrorism.
Yeah, he's a whistleblower, and he's getting information from Snowden.
See, he's not even the whistleblower. He's just carrying the package of information. He doesn't even know what the information is from one person to another.
Right.
And he's being accused of terrorism.
No, you're right. Yeah, I did see that this afternoon. Damn.
and I don't know exactly how to put this. He's not the stronger one in that partnership. You know how you got one that's strong and usually one that's weak.
Right.
He's the weak guy, and so they're picking on him hard.
Yeah, he was afraid to come back to the United States. I couldn't understand why, because he didn't do anything.
Well, now we know.
Right. Yeah, that's something.
Pretty soon the place to be is going to be Rio.
Iceland.
Well, if I had a choice between Iceland and Rio, I think I'd go to Rio.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
You would, because they have a big fascination with booty down there.
Oh, well, with Rio, I guess.
Yeah, they have a yearly contest for it.
Oh. Well, thank you. I shall look that up when we get off. No, that's,
already
I did see that. What's that?
I said, I've already seen it. It's pretty nice.
Oh, there you go. It's probably when your computer went down.
It might have been.
Smoking. So what else you got, Jenny?
The last one I've got is, did anybody hear about the missile strike in Syria? Israel did another missile strike?
Yeah. I know what you're going to talk about. Yeah, can you believe this? Go ahead.
Well,
that's good.
Israel usually will not confirm, deny, or say anything. And they did hit, nobody was hurt. They did hit a military stockpile. And their reason is they don't want it to get in the hands of Hezbollah, because they believe that that's what's taken over the rebel groups now, is Hezbollah. And so they went ahead and a White House official confirmed the attack. Kind of pretty, threw them under the bus, and they're ticked.
No, they're highly ticked. They're highly pissed off.
Yeah.
And the United came out and said this.
It called the American leak scandalous, adding that it was unthinkable for Israel's ally to be acting in such a way. And so the leak came directly from the White House, and noted that this is not the first time that the Obama administration has pointed the finger at Israel following a number of raids on Syrian targets. It says the channel went so far as to suggest that consideration had been given to establishing a panel to investigate the sources believed to be inside the Pentagon, although it gave no indication as how a foreign government could possibly invoke such a measure against another country's military command center. They stated that Israel's policy of remaining silent on whether it carried out such an attack permitted it to maintain plausible deniability, so that Syria's President Bashar Assad did not feel compelled to respond to the attacks. However, this seems to have been a large leap of faith on the part of the Israeli government, since Syrian foreign minister warned at the end of May, if Israel attacks again, we will retaliate immediately. And so the Israel political pundit argued that the White House, by publicly leaking the news of Israel's actions, are pushing Assad closer to the point where he can't swallow these attacks and will respond. In conclusion, then perhaps the U.S. will clap its hands because it will have started the very major flare-up that they're looking for.
Yeah, that's I just seen that tonight and I didn't get it yet, but they're highly, the way it read it, they were highly upset with the Obama administration. And
well,
rightly so.
If Assad had come out and said that if Israel attacks again, we will retaliate immediately, and then we throw them under the bus.
Yeah, we let them know exactly who did it.
Nice of us to be an ally.
Yeah. Well, we pissed off all our allies. Obama has. Of course, he didn't do it. You know, he found out about it on MSNBC.
It was an agency out of control.
What's that?
The NSA, he's calling it, it grew out of control. There was, you know, there was no oversight.
Yeah, that's what...
Does he not realize what an ass he's making himself look like by stating that? Because either he is the stupidest person in the world and doesn't know what's going on in his administration like he should, or, you know, he's like the big evil one. Can he not come up with a better excuse?
It's hard to believe that this man, our president, blames everybody and everything besides himself.
But he never offers up a scapegoat.
And he always said, well, you know, I love it when he said, well, I learned it when you learned it on the news from you.
That makes him sound like...
It makes him look stupid, yeah. And he's not. He's not stupid. I'm not going to say he's stupid.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care what it makes him look like. He doesn't care what people think about him. He doesn't care a rat's ass about anybody. It's just his agenda. And that's all that matters.
Well, does he have an agenda, or does somebody in the White House have an agenda? It just seems like he skips along merrily.
I'm sure some of this stuff is his agenda. Some of this stuff is somebody else with money or influence's agenda. Just like with any representative, you know, you've got your lobbyists, you're taking their money, and you're going along with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got to stand in line where you go, that ain't right. And you got to stand in line where I'm going to come up with a better excuse, or this guy's head will roll. I got somebody to throw under the bus so we don't look so bad, because he's making the United States look bad. Look at you guys put in the office of president after we had to put up with Bush that couldn't even speak, made up his own damn words.
That's true.
In another president that doesn't even know what's going on in his government until the news tells him. You know what I mean? I mean, we just look like a bunch of asses.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you on that. It's just funny how Bush, Clinton, they all did not take blame for anything they did. Oh, Clinton did when the sperm came back his.
I'm
sorry, but that didn't look bad on him, because everybody in the world kind of laughed about who keeps a dress with a sperm stain on it for a year.
Housekeeper? What's that got? Housekeeper?
How gross do you keep your living quarters if you've got a sperm-stained dress for over a year in your closet?
Jesus, I don't even want to talk about that. Anyway, they're all liars. I don't even want that.
Well, that didn't make Clinton look like an ass.
No, it didn't to me. He made himself look like an ass when he was a governor, as far as I can tell, with the drug running in Arkansas and everything else that went on in Arkansas. We didn't know about that either, did we? It's just like the Democrats will not turn on their own. The news or anything else won't investigate anything this man has done, or his wife. Allegedly. I don't know. I just sit back. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Bob?
Oh.
You got anything? Speak, my friend.
Well, did you see your ex-head of security of the world? What's that goddamn woman's name? The back-looking woman that went over to the... became... a professor over at California University.
Napolitano?
Yeah. Did you see her? Great thing about illegal immigrants coming to school. Let them all in.
Yeah, I've seen that. And she wants them all to pay just like if they live there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that. And that'll happen. The American people will pick up the rest of it.
And you think that, that everybody else would realize that, look what the situation that California's in, and we don't want to be like that, so let's throw a fit. But, hell, everybody's saying let them in now.
Yeah, they are. They want it all. They just want, they're tired of hearing the damn thing.
You know, it's going to be, well, everybody's focused on Obamacare and pissed off and, you know, what am I going to pay and all this other, all of the whole big ball of horror that this rollout is. That's how they're going to get immigration amnesty passed through.
I don't think it's going to go through. I don't even think it's going to be brought up this year.
I don't think it'll go.
I don't think it'll get through the House. I don't even think the House will bring it up.
No, they might. I don't know. I don't think it'll happen this year. It's already November. Hell, they only work a couple days a week.
That's right. You know, the Christmas break's just around the corner. But I don't see how it can be.
2 weeks, and they off for Thanksgiving, and they might as well stick on.
I think that all that crap's just trying to get onto a subject that's not the Obama health care plan. That's all that is. Let's talk about something else now.
Yeah.
Let's turn to something else. And, you know, just like, you know, because he got up there, what was it, yesterday, the day before, or something like that, talking about, we need to start working on immigration bills and 15 other different things. Anything but let's straighten out the Obamacare mess. But, you know, he was up there pushing different agendas already. So that's all
he is. He keeps...
It's going nowhere this year.
No.
And
I don't think so.
I think it's going to go until after the elections.
Well, you're probably right. I don't think Republicans do not want to tackle that right now.
No.
Although
no.
Big business and other interests are pushing the hell out of Boehner to do this, to bring a bill to the floor.
I just don't see it happening.
Well, I hope not.
You know,
come across the border. They won't be arrested. Nothing will happen to them. They, you know, get a job and do whatever they want while they're here. So why in the hell make it a law? And did you see Rubio? Rubio has backed out of that bill because he's seen the writing on the wall. This is, you know, that's why I cannot stand this son of a bitch. he's pitiful. It's simple as that. If you believe in something, for once, stay with it. But not him.
Well, he's saying they changed it from what originally was set up with the those eight. They went in and changed it. So now he's not going to back it.
Well,
he
wasn't going to back it at all until he backed it. He wasn't going to back it until they closed the border and put some kind of safeguards up. Well, they're not going to do that. But I'll vote for it anyway. And I don't know what the hell they changed this time. I didn't know that was the cause of it, of him backing out.
That's what he's claiming. That's what he's claiming. Now, if they did or didn't, I don't have any idea. I never seen the original one, what they come up with. I'm just saying that's what he's claiming.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I think just like you, he sees the major backlash to him, so he's just, like you said, backing completely out of it. Now he's going to sit here and say, oh, no, we shouldn't. Nobody's passed that. No, that's not what I was agreed upon. That wasn't what was wrote. No, I don't believe him neither. I'm like you. He just seen the sticks and slap him in the face, and now he wants to bail. Just like a lot of these politicians.
No, you're right. That's why I think he's seen his poll numbers, which was pretty damn low, went from sky high to real low, and he panicked. He sure doesn't want to lose his job. So
yeah.
I'm going to dump off. Well, I don't think people are that damn stupid that'll. That's like McCain. When I read this article or tape, I listened to the tape, said the same thing McCain did. When election time was coming around, he was all for a fence. He was all for protecting the border. And as soon as there is his election, well, you see what happened. And if there was, God damn it, people wake up, if there was any war on terror, they would close that damn border up. They would have closed it when Bush was president. War on terrorists is like a war on drugs. It's a money pit. That's all it is.
Well, it's not exactly a money pit. Somebody's getting rich from it.
Well, no. Well, yeah. It's we're throwing more money at it.
Yeah. I've seen the little cartoons that said the war on drugs works so well for illegal drugs. Why don't we do a war on organic foods or a war on farmers markets?
That's pretty good. I like that. That's true. Critic, you got anything to say? I think you're... Didn't I get him up a long time ago? Where the hell is it? Yeah, he's on.
Okay.
Yeah, I get him. Oh. There he is.
I was curious about the... if there's been any word in the grapevine about the... this grocer's strike out here, supposedly what their deal was.
I haven't seen anything on there, on any grocery strike at all.
I did, on Washington?
Yeah, I did see something when it first started, but that's been a while.
Well, it's the deal is supposedly secretive, and the union members don't even know what exactly it was that they agreed upon, but I suspect that what they probably did was postpone the dropping of insurance coverage for a while, only because the businesses got the delay for the
right.
For Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a sticking point. But yeah, they're being very secretive about what supposedly the deal was.
And the people already voted for it?
I think that they were supposed to vote yesterday. They came to the agreement last week. It was a tentative agreement last week, but the union members did not know what it was or something like that. So.
Well, how the hell can they? I don't understand how they can vote on something without knowing what's in. Well, never mind. I have to take that back. We know a little
yeah,
bit.
I was going to say.
I'll take that back. Jesus, I'll take that back, Craig. Never mind. No. There's always the big surprise.
I was going to say SEIU was notorious for that kind of crap.
Oh, we learned UAW. We learned it from them. Well, I don't know. I did see something about it a couple of weeks ago. But I haven't seen anything on it since then.
Yeah, because the big thing was is that they were going to, because the before they were getting at part-time hours, they were able to get full coverage, and they basically let that go, is from what I understood, because of the Obamacare. I don't know if they were necessarily reducing the hours, I don't think that they were necessarily doing that, but they were more the part-time coverage or full coverage if you were part-time. And then they claimed the other part was, you know, they were striking for, you know, a raise increase, a wage increase and all of that, which, you know, I don't know if anything came out of that or not.
Well, I'll look for it, see if I can find anything. I don't know.
You guys have the 522 amendment proposal up for vote soon, the Monsanto label, GMO labeling law.
Washington, state of Washington? Oh, I didn't know that.
When is that vote supposed to be?
Can't say critic.
Critic? Okay.
You might not have known it was to him, Ron.
I did say critic.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, maybe he can't hear it.
What about the 522? About what?
When is vote coming?
You mean the one out here?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Tuesday. There's a couple because I'm getting there's another one. Okay, I'm getting too confused because there's another initiative about, you know, petitioners or paid petitioners. But, yeah, they have to get who it is, some not the former food general or somebody, but they've been running propaganda ads against it. Somebody was like high up or somebody like that or something that they paid off to say that that the label was confusing and that it would raise the prices of food and stuff. It's the same stuff they did down there in California. So I don't know.
A judge in Washington found out that some of the money was coming from to fight against it was coming from certain corporations. He had made him disclose where all the money was coming from.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Although I will say that I don't think the people up here are quite as stupid as the people down there in California, although, you know, they're not far behind it on some issues. I don't think people would fall necessarily for that trip like they did down there. So I don't know. See how that one goes.
There was some hinky vote counting also on that vote. I don't think it was all people bamboozled. I think some of that money went to actually either ballot stuff, you know, buying the ballots.
That wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. No, the big thing up here was, and that really, to be honest, really gotten a whole lot of press up here, though. I mean, you hear about it every now and then. The big thing is, let's see, the 517 initiative for Tim Myman. Wants it for legal for paid. With a paid signature, paid petition gatherers, you know, they have the same rights as the non-petitioner ones. And then there's the big progressive cunt mayoral race out here. Basically, it's boring. It's progressive cunt versus progressive cunt, you know, which one can be the most socialist. So that's the big, CTAC has a thing, too. This is another union propaganda thing where they want to vote to raise the minimum wage for the city workers to $15 an hour. They got that on the ballot.
What is minimum wage then?
Well, minimum wage in the state, well, as of January 1st is supposed to go up to, I think, like 9.32 or something like this. 9.19 an hour now.
Okay, so you guys have got a pretty high minimum wage.
Yeah, we're the highest in the country.
Yeah, we're at, I think we're at 785,
83. I didn't know it was that high. I thought it was 735.
No.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of when I worked. I think it was 783.
It probably is.
Yeah, but they want the city workers, or I'm not sure whether it's city employees or whether maybe it's just in the city of SeaTac where they want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And, yeah, we know that that's union propaganda. Well, it may not even be union propaganda, but they're, left-wing. Distraction is nonsense.
What's that noise?
That's Bob eating chips.
Oh.
No, that's not me this time.
Okay.
That's me.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to make sure it's not my headphones going cockeyed. And you blame Bobby.
Well, yeah, that was quick. Blame me.
Sorry, Bob.
Well, only because 99.9% of the time it is you, but...
Well, this 1% time is me.
It's usually me
and
or you.
And I'll let the whole world know it wasn't me.
Yeah. Now, did you see Jimmy Carter?
What? Yeah, talking about Obama.
Yeah, calling Obama an incompetent loser.
Yep.
Oh, that slap. I mean, that is a slap. Oh, God. Man, that is
that's
crazy.
That's
well,
pretty good.
If I'm saying correctly, didn't Obama's ratings go lower than even his did?
I don't know what you mean. It's right in there.
So now that you got a president either as low as him or below him, now he can pop off at the mouth.
Then he's doing it, isn't he? He's just jumping right on. Finally got somebody dumber than me.
That's right.
That is crazy. I just seen this article.
Yeah, I've seen that. But I was going to ask you also, did you go get you some extra coffee?
No.
No, why?
Because the people at Folgers, I think it's Folgers and Maxwell House, they fixing to go on strike.
What?
And I'm making a trip on Monday.
What?
Making a little trip.
The grocery Friday, and there's
what?
People standing. I said I went to the grocery store on Friday.
Yeah.
There were some people standing out there handing out. The guy asked me if I would support the strike. I said, well, I don't know. Let me see what you got there. And it's the company that owns Folgers and Maxwell House and Zinka. I think was another coffee brand. But anyway, they're all going on strike.
Yeah, Zinka is a coffee brand.
Uh-huh.
Zinka is a coffee brand.
Okay, yeah. The ones that I recognized right off the bat was Folgers, because that's what I drink, and Maxwell House. I didn't know they were owned by the same people, but
and Maxwell House is the drink.
Huh?
Maxwell House is the one Don drinks.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the same person who owns Folgers owns Maxwell House.
So what's
the
strike off?
Well, it's because, according to the paper, it was because they're dropping their salaries, and I'm trying to remember because apparently I threw it away. I was out looking for it here a second ago. They were dropping their salaries like 425 to 7 something an hour. They were going to drop,
cut back their pay. Another was they were going to have to pay for their own, pay portions of their own health care. And the other, another one in there that they were complaining about was if they had to work on holidays, I guess they got paid three times. Instead of time and a half, it was three times, and now they're going to cut it back to just time and a half on holidays. And, oh, and the 401K. The company's not going to match their 401K anymore. So that's why they're going on strike.
When will this strike take place if it happens?
You didn't really say. I kind of thought maybe it already started.
Guess y'all have to start going to Starbucks.
No, I can't afford Starbucks.
I can barely afford Folgers. I damn sure can't afford Starbucks.
Speaking of it, it was so cold and windy today when I was out. On a rare occasion, I went in and got one of those caramel lattes for a little 8-ounce cup. It was like $3.35 or something. Just for the small one.
Well, and I can buy a half a pound of coffee for that damn price.
He was looking at the menu he's going through. They have just coffee?
Well, yeah.
Can I get just coffee?
Well, hell, I don't know what they in it. It was gross. Whatever they gave me was very gross. Ah, I can't.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I had forgotten about their bitter aftertaste, though, because it had been years. Because the only time that I really drink coffee in there, once that, I'll get a taste. But the only time that I might go in there is like holiday times and get like an eggnog latte or something on occasion. But I had forgotten about it because this was like more the regular one with the flavored syrup in it. And I had forgotten about the bitter aftertaste.
Well, there's definitely an aftertaste.
Yeah, it's a high oil coffee, and it's got a lot of bitter undertone.
Oh, I think you know about than I do. If it's not Maxwell House of Folgers, I really don't care to have it.
I don't know why stupid crap gets stuck in my brain and why I pick it up and remember it.
No, I don't either.
And I cannot remember a person's name.
It came in handy. So.
I just thought I'd make Connie's eyes raise by telling him how much I paid for that little small cup of coffee I bought today.
I know, that's crazy. I know coffee there, good Lord, it cost a fortune.
Well,
get some fancy stuff. Go ahead.
First of all, you don't call it coffee because it ain't coffee.
Well, what I ordered was supposed to be coffee, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I got black coffee, and it was gross. But that other stuff, the floating marshmallow or something, I don't know what the hell's in this thing. I don't.
Well, with lattes, what they do is they put steam milk in it, and then you can get it with all kinds of different flavors, like caramel or chocolate or vanilla or hazelnut or the holidays. Like pumpkin or, no pun intended, cinnamon coffee or eggnog or gingerbread or, you know. So that's for is like the extra flavoring and the milk and supposedly the coffee is best brewed, but I had forgot about that bitter aftertaste.
Yeah.
Now, is latte made with coffee or with espresso?
Espresso is a little different. Espresso has a lot more caffeine in it, and espresso, I'm trying to remember. I think the espresso does have the milk. They do something a little different. It's more steamed. The latte is not quite as steamed, but the espresso has a lot more caffeine to it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You do you go to Starbucks there, old Bob?
Hell no.
Well, you, my son does. The one in the Army, he goes, Chris, he goes to Starbucks. I guess that, I don't know how.
I know a lot of people that go.
Oh, hell yeah, there's a lot.
And I tried it once, and that was enough for me, and I ain't never been back. Hell, they got Starbucks in the damn grocery stores down here.
Yeah.
Well, they got standalone businesses here, but I don't know, I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, they sell Starbucks coffee on the shelf.
Oh, you mean on the shelf like a Maxwell House?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean they got a Starbucks in the grocery stores. Like when you go to a grocery store?
Don't have a grocery store, unless you go to Walmart.
Hmm. When you go to the regular stores down here, they got that place in there.
Yeah, a lot of the same things.
$15 coffee cups and their $8 coffees.
$8 coffee.
Well, I'll put you, they sell coffee cups. They're goddamn coffee cups just because it says Starbucks on the side. They're like, you know, $17 for a damn coffee cup. They're crazy. And
well,
people buy them.
Well, it's like a designer handbag. You know, you can buy the one at Myers for $20. You can buy a Kate Spade for $350.
It's damn coffee cup.
That's the only thing I know. I believe.
I mean, but I get that. We're talking about handbags that could be alligator skin. They could be this or that or whatever. Real leather. These are coffee cups.
They should.
No, I'm telling you, a Kate Spade will break down just as fast as a $20 Meyer purse.
If I'm advertising for you, and me a coffee mug, it says Starbucks, and I'm advertising with you, ought to give it to me for free.
That, thank you.
They're advertising, charging people to advertise for them is stupid.
Oh, well, they've been doing that since the 80s. They now sell T-shirts instead of giving them away for all your pop products or your beer products or anything like that. And everybody thought it was cool.
Yeah, you're right.
So now
that
they can make a profit on the sideline. So if you were a business, why the hell not?
No, you can find people that has 17 extra dollars to buy a mug or whatever the hell they sell. Go for it. It ain't going to be me.
It ain't me, me neither.
Maybe we can also buy those espresso machines inside of Starbucks, though, but it'll cost you a couple of least. You know, the last one that I saw was about $400.
Gee, for a coffee machine.
Hey, we've got an espresso machine.
Do you?
We do.
What the hell do you do? What's an espresso? Anyway.
It's a triple coffee.
What?
Yeah, it's a triple coffee.
A triple coffee shrunk down to...
That big.
Why is that?
It's the way it's brewed and processed through. It takes out more of the oil and flavoring and the caffeine out of the beans. Super concentrated.
Oh, that's an espresso?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I learned something.
A shot of that crap, like $1.90 a shot? Something like that?
Whoa. And you got to
add
three?
Yeah, but it's also three coffees.
Yeah, you're talking, what would that be, $5.70 for a little thing like that?
No. An espresso equals three coffees.
One espresso is three coffees, but if you got, do you put three shots in there?
No.
Oh.
No.
Bob, you don't know.
You got your eyeballs to be pumping out of your head if you drink those three.
I drink coffee when time I wake up to when I go to bed, so I have to have more more caffeine than those three little, or those that little bitty cup.
As much coffee as you drink, probably one of those espressos would probably is close to about the amount of coffee you might drink in a day, so you'd be getting like that much in one shot.
Right. Oh.
Well, I think it would be about as much as he drinks in just like his in his shift for the day.
They don't realize how much coffee I drink.
He can drink four pots of coffee.
Oh, four?
Four.
I do that at work. And then I drink two here in the morning and at night. And that's only work hours when I have to work, go to bed early. But I drink a lot of coffee. It doesn't matter how much. I think I drink about six pots of coffee a day. On a work day, the weekends, if I get up early, you know, it's a hell of a lot more. Because I nonstop drink coffee. But it isn't good for you. But I drink too. I go to bed, you know, and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, we'll have to get you an espresso or a cappuccino because you like cream in your coffee.
I don't want none of that. I'm not paying that kind of money for that. I can't.
No, I've got the machine.
Oh, you aren't making me nothing, all right? It's at that stage. Not on that. How did you get
doesn't want to hear about it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'll listen, but don't try to force me into having some. But where did we get an espresso machine, Sven?
We got an we inherited it.
How in the hell, who had it?
It was Grandma's.
Your grandma's?
Yeah. Everybody bought it for Christmas one year because she liked cappuccinos. And it was too hard for her to make them, and it sat in the cabinet, and so I inherited it. Because you like coffee, and so we would drink cappuccinos. And it's still sitting in the cabinet.
Oh.
Is it one of the taste to it?
What's that, critic?
I said, is it one of those espresso machines that looks like a spaceship?
No, it's smaller than that.
Gee, you even know what things look like?
Yeah, ask me how to get around in the store.
Yeah, but getting around in the store and know what a spaceship cappuccino or espresso machine
but
is.
That means I know what's in the store. So.
Huh?
To get around the store, you would have to know what's in the store, so I know what kind of products are out there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know what, your spaceship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is a little one?
Yeah, this is a little one. This one takes time because the water's going to have to heat up on its own. It's not one of the on-demand ones like your bun is.
Yeah.
You do have a bun, though, that has that's kind of a little bit.
Don't even think it.
Kind of look like a spaceship.
Don't even think it.
And it's you pour the water in and it brews. You get a pot of coffee.
Everybody knows what a bun is. You don't have to see. Not everybody knows what an espresso machine is, but everybody knows what a bun is.
Everybody but you knows what an espresso machine is.
Well, I don't know what the hell they are. No. I'm sorry. I don't drink it.
That doesn't mean everybody's going to know what a bun is.
And I don't know what you're doing.
Well, we're going past coffee.
Yeah.
Thanks for the note, Bob. I'm going shopping tomorrow or Monday, and I'm stocking up on coffee.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would not be able to live with him if he didn't have coffee.
Well, not all the coffee places are business, or not business, but,
I'm not paying $14 a bag for...
If we have to.
For
one bag.
For 8 o'clock.
I love 8 o'clock coffee, though.
That's only 1 pound, honey.
Well, I know.
$14 a pound.
That's $14?
Yes.
When did you buy it for?
I had a coupon, so I didn't have to pay $14.
Okay, that's good enough. I do. You like 8 o'clock coffee? Critic Bob?
I've never heard of it.
Really?
I'm not a coffee drinker. I just did it today because I was cold.
Oh, yeah, it warmed me up.
8 o'clock is very good.
8 o'clock is what my aunt, uncles down south always drank, was 8 o'clock.
Well, I drink Folgers, that's it.
So if they go on strike, both of them are gone, right? Maxwell House and Folgers?
And Cinca.
And Cinca?
Cinca, yeah.
Then what else is there?
Well, it's 8 o'clock there. Your store brands are there. Starbucks is there.
No.
There's Seattle's Best is there. Oh, don't get me going on naming off of stuff.
Well, I don't know what I'd go
to. The grocery store I go to, there's three brands. Folgers, Maxwell House, and the store brand. And then they got you got to be a millionaire to buy coffee, like the Dunkin' Donuts in the little one-pound bag. And you know,
I like
Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, obviously, they got those, but those are kind of expensive.
How much is Dunkin' Donut coffee? Because it's good.
They're about $13 for a pound.
Oh, Lordy, no. Can't be doing that. See, I sell coffee at work, and I sure, the people I work with don't deserve $14 a pound coffee.
They'll be drinking Curly.
Neither do I.
They'll be drinking Curly.
No, they won't. Because I can't drink that. That's gross. I make me a pot of good stuff, and...
You can start charging them Starbucks prices.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. I went up to 40 cents a little styrofoam cup, and they almost stroked out on me. I almost got lynched. No, we'll work something out.
The 40 cents a cup of coffee was about, 1978 or something like that?
Yeah. I keep telling them what a deal they're getting, and they don't believe me.
Yeah, my little Starbucks was $5 a cup.
$5 a cup. Mm. Where is this strike taking place, Bob?
I don't know.
Panic in the couch house.
Well, yeah, it's panic, all right. I just... wondering if it's here or, you know, over there. Over here, over there.
I don't know. I mean, he did. On that paper, it didn't have a you know, like how you've got where your union is to say union whatever number it is. It wasn't on that paper. So I have no clue.
Well,
and I thought that was kind of weird. I figured it had the union number on it. You know what I mean? And what union was it? What union it was? But it might not be a union. It might just be the employees. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they have a union or not. So, yeah.
I mean, I know some businesses down here do have unions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know.
Well, then maybe it's just something lonely. Because I hadn't heard anything about a nationwide strike of that.
I don't know. Like I said, that's all I said on that paper.
Well, that's the first I heard of it. We will definitely keep our eye out for that.
You know, I'm assuming if they're going to do it down here, then the guy who owns it is probably going to do it, you know. It ain't like Folgers is only sold down in the South. You know what I mean?
No, we get
everywhere.
Well, you would think if there was some major, you know, like when Hostess calls themselves or, you know, the employees call themselves going out on strike or something like which backfire, I mean, you would think that that would have gotten some attention. So I don't know. It sounds like that's just maybe something local down there.
Like I said, I don't know.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't hear about it. But, where I go and get news, they wouldn't say anything. Yeah. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. But you better stock up.
I'll be right back.
Okay, buddy.
I'm going to Google it and see if they're going to go out on strike.
Well, Google.
I know, as soon as my stupid computer loads.
Oh. Yeah, I hope they don't go on strike, but I don't know. I haven't heard any of it, so I don't know. Hopefully you can find something there, Cindy.
They do. I'm moving.
Why?
Because I'm just not dealing with you without coffee.
I was in the hospital and didn't have to have coffee. What are you
yes,
talking about?
Yes, you did. No, you sent me down. The second the doctor said, yes, you can have a cup of coffee.
Well,
it was didn't
my third
the...
day.
It was not.
It was
it the, was
third
the next day.
Oh.
And she and you sent me down, and she you didn't wait for the nurse to get it.
No, because they give you those little things of coffee. You might as well get a bigger thing, bigger cup. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I like coffee. I always enjoy my coffee, and I'm not in a bad mood or anything when I don't have coffee. I go for a while without it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. When I'm in Alabama, how many times do you see me walk around with a coffee cup?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see? I'm all right.
No, I never got into coffee. I never got into it. I guess I got more into tea, but then I don't even drink that all that often either.
I like sweet tea, iced tea. I don't like it without my sugar, and I don't like warm, or hot tea. I never could acquire a taste for that.
But hot tea? That's the only kind of tea that I really like. Mine is like herbal, non-decaffeinated. I don't like cold tea.
Oh, I do. I love iced sugar sweet tea.
Okay.
Yeah. I like sweet tea. I like, but I like hot tea also. I'm a honey and lemon kind of person.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Okay, I had to go dig through the damn trash can because you were asking me questions I don't know. Okay, the company's called Striking. It's called Maximus Workers. It says, we at Maximus Coffee Group were forced to either take severe customer pay and benefits, accept bad working conditions, or strike. So they said that they had striked. They're cutting our pay anywhere from $4.85 to $7.20 an hour is unacceptable. Forcing us to work overtime and holidays without premium pay. Switching our insurance to a company plan and doubling what we must pay for insurance premiums and reducing the company's match in our 401 retirement.
So that's just the workers doing that.
I guess. They own Boston Coffee, Boston's Best Products, Cafe Lario Coffee, Cloverleaf Coffee, Folgers Coffee, Maxwell Health Coffee, Nestle Coffee Products, and Senka Instant Coffee.
So it's like there's really no competition. It's like one that owns all of them.
It sounds like it. And the guy's name that owns it is Mr. Carlos D. I'm going to blow this last name. A-L-D-E-C-O-A. He's the company president. You want their phone number?
Get yourself some Juan Valdez or some Hills Brothers.
Do what?
Get yourself some Juan Valdez or some Hills Brothers.
Yeah, Hills Brothers wasn't on that.
No, Hills Brothers not on there. It's mainly Maxwell House. It's Maxwell House Instant Coffee, Maxwell House. Filet Filter Pack.
This is instant coffee only?
Huh?
Are you saying this is only instant coffee you're talking about?
No.
Oh, it says Beaumont Coffee, which Beaumont Coffee is just, you know, regular coffee. I know that. I don't know what Boston Best is.
Do they make do they still make butternut coffee? Should I know?
It says
butternut?
All Folger products. Maxwell House Coffee Collection, Maxwell House Coffee Singles, Maxwell House Instant Coffee, International Maxwell House International Coffee, and there's something else that I can't read. It's got garbage on it. So I just assumed it was all Maxwell House stuff and Folgers. Was it
a cinnamon added on the website?
I mean, that's all I cared about was the Folgers part, and it said Folgers all products.
Okay, I'm getting back to what Critic was asking about. What kind of coffee was that?
Butternut.
Butternut coffee. I've never heard of that.
You don't remember butternut coffee from back in the day? It used to come in like a big, what was it, kind of orangish and tannish and brown canisters.
They also did cocoa.
No, I don't remember that at all. I remember Chocolate Nuts coffee?
Yeah, that's still there.
Is it? I remember that, but I don't know.
Butternut also made cocoa, too.
Made what?
Cocoa. Butternut cocoa and butternut coffee.
Nestle makes the very best chocolate. I thought I'd throw that out there. No,
not
I don't know.
Not according
Never.
To proof. Proof won't touch anything with Nestle in it.
Yeah, they're stealing our water, too.
He buys anything up, it has to be closer.
Yeah, and they're stealing water out of the Great Lakes for $1 a year. Thank you, Governor Engler. And people, I don't know if we got a shortage of water or not. They claim there is, just like they claim it's called global warming.
Well, the Great Lakes are the watershed is receding. Part of it's because of the extra heat, but a lot of it's got to do with them. I mean, you set up a well in the middle of the island, you don't think you're going to be pulling in from the sea, for God's sake?
No, right? For China? Yeah.
No,
China does that.
Well, yeah, but Nestle says that they're not taking from the Great Lake watershed. Well, you are.
You are. They proved it.
Yeah, we're the island in the middle of the damn lakes, so you're pumping right directly in from the lakes.
No, they followed that right inland where they were. Nestle's got a plant somewhere up north that is encircled with a fence that says "Do not trespass," and that's. You can't even see the plant with all the trees. But they are stealing. No, like I said, they're not stealing water. They were sold. It was sold to them. And that was on, and I know you people don't listen or watch Ventura because he's a nut. He was a wrestler. But, yeah, they proved it. And T. Boone Pickens down there in your neck of the woods there, Bob, he said, water is the next oil. And, of course, in Texas, they have a law that he can drill down and go left or right with anything he wants. If he runs into water and it happens to be on your property, too bad. And he is taking water off his neighbor's land, and his neighbor tried to fight him, but you can't fight a billionaire. You're not going to win.
Not a chance in hell.
Okay,
no.
just one little update.
Yeah.
What their union negotiated for their contract is a 40 to 50% wage cut The elimination of overtime pay or holiday pay and cut the 401k by not paying into it, and they have to go off of – they have to stop the union insurance plan and go on to what they're calling the company plan, which is 30% more than what they're paying for now.
Hold on. Now, let me just get this straight. Their union negotiated this great contract like that?
Yes.
Then are you kidding me? A union actually 50% wage decrease?
40 to 50%.
And no working on holidays, double time or triple time?
No, yep, no overtime pay.
Christ, what kind of union is that?
No paying in 401k.
What?
No paying into 401k. No matching pay in.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
I can see that too.
Their insurance goes to a different insurance plan, and they have to pay 30% more.
Now, the union. Are you saying the union had their health care, and now they're?
Yes.
That's what the union representative said.
Well, it doesn't make a bit of sense. Why? Why would a company want to take over the health care? So I don't understand that, I guess.
I'm assuming he's probably getting a tax credit for offering
I don't.
Insurance to his employees.
Oh, well.
Sounds
well,
like
the union didn't do those folks any favors at all.
No.
Lucky as the UAW is, they never have the guts to come up with something like that. But gee, I understand they're probably losing money because that's an expense that people can do without. Is coffee. You just cut that right out of your, I don't know, cut it right out of your budget.
Sounds like something SEIU would do.
Yeah. Wow. That's a strange. I'm going to have to have you send that to me so I can print it off.
Maybe
that's why the grocery deal was so secretive. That's kind of the deal.
They don't want their people to know about it.
And that's why, remember when I told you the one time I was at picking up supplies and I said coffee went back up?
Yeah.
I said it didn't jump that much, but it went back up.
Right.
And that's why, because that was October 10th that they went out on strike. So they're already out on strike.
Yeah.
The guy anticipated it and brought in temporary workers and has some of the bosses in there, so there was no shutdown.
So they got scab labor, right?
Yep.
Where's this at?
It's in Houston. It's just the Houston store that they're on strike. It's local 455 of the UFCW, which is United Food.
United Food and Beverage.
No, it's not beverage.
No, beverage. No. That it was. I don't know what union, but I can't understand a union negotiating that kind of. That's a lousy agreement.
They've been working on the. According to this, they've been working on the bargaining agreement since the beginning of July. And so pretty much what was happening is the company wasn't giving them anything, and the union said, this is the best we can get. Tell them to go stick it up their ass. Let's go on a strike.
Wow. Yeah, I guess so. I don't blame them. I'm not always for unions, but I can't see losing half of my wages doing the same job.
Yeah, lose half your wages, have to pay more for insurance, and lose any retirement benefit because there's no matching for retirement.
Yeah, I can understand that part of it. Give that back, and you can still save enough money to retire on if you're young. You know.
Well, yeah, but it's not your wages half if you have no overtime pay.
Now, the overtime pay is another thing, and the holiday pay.
See, the way that guy explained that overtime thing to me was that they would still get time and a half, but what they were losing is if they worked like holidays, they got paid like what they call the premium pay, whatever in the hell that is. Yeah. So I'm
premium pay is like double time.
Double time.
Yeah.
Right. So from what he was saying is that if you worked a holiday, you'd get paid time and a half.
Well, that's actually national. That's part of
that's normal.
If anybody, if you work on holiday,
I thought if you work on a holiday on a like Christmas Day, for instance, you get double time. No.
No.
Well,
we do. We get triple pay.
I never got overtime.
In the state of Texas, I know if you work a holiday, it's time and a half.
Yeah.
And that's it. There ain't no double time or triple time or any of that crap. And it's just time and a half.
It's national law that you get overtime depending on your pay period. If your pay period is every 2 weeks, anything over 80 hours, they have to pay you time and a half. Your pay period is once a week, a 40-hour week, then they have to pay you
time and a half,
40 hours. And when I was working in retail, I had to work holidays. You didn't get time and a half for holidays, only if it went over your 40 hours.
Yeah, some places might. Yeah, now that she says that, that kind of does kind of ring a bell, because I remember used to work at Target years ago. I didn't work. Well, the only holiday actually I worked was New Year's. I didn't, because they were closed Christmas and Thanksgiving. But I do remember working New Year's Day and not getting paid time and a half for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only part that I think where there was a complaint that I would justify doing with this is the part where they were taking their salaries away. You know, taking their money away. In some cases, now I'm not saying because I don't know, but, you know, if it's, you know, we either take a little bit of your pay or lay people off, you know, that's a decision you need to make. Maybe that, I mean, part of the reason why they're doing that, instead of laying people off, they're just going to cut pay. I don't know.
I would accept a 50% decrease in pay or something like that. Now, what they might or could do if they say that they were going to freeze royalties for a certain amount of period or something like that, okay, you know, maybe I could see that, you know. Or if they did something like, what do they call it, medical accounts, or what are those things where that employers actually they give you the money to go and buy your own insurance plan or spend it whatever you want, however you want it. I think medical savings account or something like that. If they wanted to do that instead of buying the insurance or something, I could see that. But not cutting the pay by 50%.
No, that's really extreme. You just not drinking enough coffee down there, Bobby.
That's what I was going to say. Ain't drinking enough coffee.
God, dog. So that must be just down in Texas, Cinnamon. I don't have to panic.
It's just at the Houston headquarters.
Okay.
And that's why the coffee went up when I went to go buy supplies 2 weeks ago.
Because of Houston?
And it had gone up another, it jumped, I want to say $1.50. And coffee had finally gone back down after the Colombian strike, for crying out loud. And I told you, you know, I called you and I told you it jumped.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So the jump's already there. It may jump more, though, depending on how long they stay on strike.
Yeah. Well, as long as I can get it. I guess
about the SEIU, what used to piss me off about them, we were never, or my department was never part of that union, but they made our department go by their union contract they negotiated for everybody else. because everybody complained before the SEU got in there, before they actually switched. I forgot what it was that company, Bill Fristall, the former senator of Tennessee, that they their wages or their raises were better. They got to accrue their vacations. And it was something else that they had. When the union got in there, we got a measly 4% wage increase. I remember the first year I was there, and I came in like at part of the year, so my wage increase was like 11 cents that I got. I mean, I got a better raise at a part-time job that I was holding at the same time than the place that I got there. And you could only accrue, I think, up to like, I think it was like 260 hours of a vacation time. If you went over that, you lost it. So a lot of times what I would do is get close to it and then cash whatever out and use that like for like an account or something like that. But it was pretty crappy it was, you know, SEIU stuff like that. And it's like with me, they cheated me out of over $8,000 that I should have gotten severance pay that I was entitled to. And then they claimed that, well, my when I got laid off, that that my laid off didn't have anything to do with the condition of the contract that they negotiated. It was because of something else. And they never actually would show me a copy of the contract. So, you know. That just sounds like something SEIU would have negotiated. It just has their earmarks all over it.
Wow, that's a damn. Screwed you out of $8,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's not like I could have afforded to go out and buy and get an attorney to sue him for it.
Right. Yeah, you're right. No, you are right. Damn. I can't imagine. I don't know where unions went wrong, but boy, if they agreed to this damn thing, did the people, Cinnamon, and Bob, whatever you guys read, did the people tell the union to kiss their ass and then went on strike on their own, or did the union call for a strike?
90% voted to strike.
Okay, they had they held a strike vote like we did last year.
I'm assuming.
Don't ask me why we did. We couldn't.
Well, Donnie, I think your friend Dick said it probably says it best on there, that unions went wrong when they got out of the business of being a union and started getting into the business of politics.
That's right. Boy. And nobody's more in politics than Bob King of the UAW. And he's the reason we have, and which is fine with me, I guess, is right to work state. And that's fine with me.
And they're so engrossed in politics, that's probably why your little friends, your little troublemaking friends thought they'd come on and start making trouble because, you know, now they've invited those people to this Zig Heil the unions, no matter what, my union right or wrong. And, you know, they bring in a bunch of nonsense that has nothing to do with union issues or working issues.
Yeah. That's definitely been going on. And, you know, we got somebody named Ralph, that he starts every sentence with brothers and sisters. And he is up the union's backside. And, that's all right if that's what you believe in. But this guy, he's a homer for them. And those other people, all they want to talk about was politics. And that's how I got my little letter I got. Call me, what do you call me? She called me, I'm an ignorant old man. And she's smarter. I don't know what all that damn letter said, but it was good. She did good. Did you see that, Bob?
Hmm?
Did you see the letter that this lady wrote to me?
No, I've never seen it, no.
No? Well, I saved it, I think. I didn't take it off Facebook or anything. I don't know where you'd find it, but she ripped me pretty good. hurt my feelings almost. Called me an old man like that.
You got a Facebook page?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh.
I don't do anything on it, but I've got one.
Yeah, and he got insulted on the workers' workplaces and unions.
Oh, that Facebook. Well, it was on my.
It showed up in your feed because you
because
you're friends with that site.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, no offense, but that's the problem with these unions. And you get these people in there, and they come off just like nuts, and just like, you know, I'm sorry to say it, but they sound like a bunch of Nazis. If you don't agree with them 100% on everything, they, they go after you for, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, you are right. The unions used to hate me when I did payroll because I worked for an agency. I worked for a local city government out here for about a year. And I worked for, an airfield line of business. And anyway, I was the time card keeper, and there was half the employees I had were union employees. I whipped their asses into shape because they used to get away with so much stuff. Half of them wouldn't turn in their time cards. They expected to get all their premium pay. They expected us to be psychic and know what shift or the project that they were working on and stuff like that. And I took a job. I said, no, enough of this. You will have your time cards in on time. You are going to indicate what it is that you worked, what project you worked on. You will hand it in on time. No exceptions, no excuses. If I got to go find you, you ain't going to like what I have. You're not going to like seeing me show up in your face if I have to. I just, I cut out a lot of that crap. And a lot of them were very much mollycoddled. A lot of that had to do with the director that was running that business and just let them get away with too much stuff. I didn't tolerate it myself, quite frankly. Because it made my job difficult.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Bobby, do you have anybody from the union working where you work?
We're not a union shop, no.
I didn't know if you had people in the warehouse or something that was union.
No, we don't have.
Well, you got a good boss. He really goes the extra mile, like at Christmas and things like that. So
I can't complain about my boss. I can always complain about my boss, my owner. I don't complain about.
Yeah.
The guy who owns the company. I can't say too bad. I can't say nothing bad about the guy. He always treats everybody fair, and you know, I mean, we can all bitch about what we make an hour and all that type of thing, but you know.
Oh yeah, nobody makes enough money. You know.
Yeah. So. But,
nobody's paid what they should be paid, I guess.
Yeah,
I never heard you complain about the guy.
No, I don't.
Good,
no, I'm
a pretty decent boss.
Yeah, you know, when if anything goes wrong and you need money, he'll loan you money quicker than you can blink an eye. No problem. We don't have to go to the bank. We just go to him. He's our bank.
Well, see, that's awesome. I want a boss like that. What's that, Dave?
What'd you say, Critic?
I said I was working for the wrong people. Maybe I ought to move down there and try to get a job with your company.
No doubt, man. That's pretty nice because look how much he's saving people that if they need a loan. Interest.
Yeah. And you don't charge interest, you don't do nothing. And you pick what you can pay back. If you borrow $3,000 and you tell them, we'll take out $50 out of my paycheck, that's what he does. I mean, he doesn't say you have to pay back
you know, $100 or $200 a month or whatever. You just pick what you can afford to pull back.
Jeez. That is. Maybe we put all on this.
There was a guy that worked there. He was an older gentleman. He was working for a place called Splashdown, which basically what it is, it was an amusement park, water slide park, you know, that type of thing. He worked as a maintenance man. Well, he got hired on when we did. He got laid off and all that type of stuff. But anyway, he got hired on, and he was laid off for quite a while. And the mortgage company for his house was foreclosing on his house. John, the guy that owns our company, he owed something like, I know it was at least $20,000. And he loaned him the money to get his house out from under foreclosure.
Wow.
Now, how many people you know that, you know, bosses of yours would do something like that? And
no,
when he did I had all the respect in the world for him. I didn't give a damn what other people said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to say the last boss I worked with, or the owner of the company, it was a small company, was nice, even though he laid me off because they lost their major account. He gave me $500 in severance pay, you know, which was, you know, you didn't have to do that.
Right.
As far as that, it was kind of, he was kind of different, though, because like some of the jobs he did, he had his own he had his own mini planes. He'd fly to like different locations, and he flew me down to the place where he had his car, and I drove one of his company cars back up here and stuff like that. So I have to say the last was pretty decent, but I worked for a similar company that was their competitor that was so cheap. You know what they gave us if you went out of town for expense money, for meal money? You know what they gave us per day? Granted, this was years ago, but this was still nothing. They gave us $9 a day for meal money. They expected us to spend $3 for breakfast and $6 for dinner.
Jeez.
Damn.
I was like, I don't think you could even get a breakfast at McDonald's for $3. And that didn't even include lunch. Lunch wasn't even included, so.
No. Well, $9 a day. You'd be eating ramen noodles.
Yeah, really.
It was like or something.
Not to change the subject, but did you see the top 15 most popular political websites?
No.
Let me break it down for you. Number one is Huffington Post.
Huffington Post. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Number two, Drudge Report. Three is The Blaze. Four is Politico. Five is Newsmark. Six is called CS Monitor. Seven, The Washington Times. 8, WND, 9, one called Salon, S-A-L-O-N.
Really?
10 is InfoWars, 11 is Daily Kos, K-O-S.
Yeah, Daily Kos.
Yeah, 12 is Town Hall, 13 is The Hill, 14 is Real Clear Politics. 15 is called, the 15th is Free Republican. Those are your top 15 news websites.
Yeah,
I'm
Huffington
surprised.
And what's that?
I was kind of surprised The Blaze was so high for, you know.
The Blaze is, I can turn it on WJR, and, you know, the top of the hour news is done by The Blaze, and other stations are using The Blaze also. And yeah, that's The Blaze is relatively new.
Yeah, that's the part I think. So relatively new to jump up that far. Political's been around forever.
Yeah, Political's been, Daily Kos has been around Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I wonder whatever happened to old Op-Ed News.
What was that? Op-Ed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Probably went bankrupt.
Yeah.
InfoWars does 600,000, they estimate 600,000 monthly visitors. That's not bad for a redneck from Texas, huh?
Yeah, for a station. they don't. Then people don't believe in, they say. Not bad at all.
Conspiracy theorists and all this other shit.
You know what? Speaking of that, since we're on that subject, I am so glad that Alex Jones has gotten more hardcore towards what he calls authoritarian libtards, what I affectionately refer to them as progressive cunts, and really calling them out for what they are, because they deserve it and they need it, because they are very manipulative.
Yeah, he has. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, it wasn't me.
Oh, I thought I didn't want to step on anybody. I agree. He has come out with a lot. To me, he's got a lot more guests on and guests that people can recognize, that, you know, their names and know where they came from. And Alex Jones, if you go back and listen to some of his old stuff on the radio, compared to now, it's like two different people.
You know, I've listened to his stuff years. Well, of course, you know, physical appearance and all that stuff changed, but I know I didn't actually recognize him years ago, because I remember watching some video or something he did in the 90s or something about he was protesting. I think that's when you guys started fingerprinting for driver's licenses or something, that he was protesting at the DMV or something like that. And I was looking at where is Alex? This was his lawyer or something like that. And then I had to really look, and I said, oh, that's him, because he was a lot thinner and his voice wasn't as huskier. And then I didn't realize the video was as old as it was either when I looked at it. So it was like, two different people almost.
Oh, it was. He had a higher range voice and compared to now. Yeah, that's when he was going against the DMV and at the counter there. I remember that. I don't know if you've seen that, Bob, but that, you know, a long time ago, he, I got a dog by me real quick. Hold on for a minute. Go, get away. Bye-bye.
About, what, 16 or 17 years ago when he did that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's been a, and then if you can find his 2000, I think it's when the world was coming to an end, everybody made fun of him about, but what he did was take phone calls and people were telling him all this crap, you know, that the city is dark and all this other crap, and yeah, he's a different animal now, totally different. Millennium.
A lot of people sit there and criticize him about that. You know what? Actually, recently went back and listened to that online, because I had never listened to that before. And there was like, and I do remember, because there were like different reports from cities about different power failures and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff was true. And the stuff that he was talking about as far as the conflicts and stuff, that stuff, a lot of that came through, but people have to realize when people talk about Y2K, everybody thinks that the century turned at the year 2000. It turned at year 2001. What happened in 2001? Do we all know?
Mm-hmm.
100 years is from year 1 until the year 100. There's no year 0 in there. So the new millennium didn't until year 2001. So, you know.
Yeah,
not to split
he got roasted. He got roasted because of, you know, he was taking calls, and of course that's what he does, and nobody screens his calls. And these people would tell him all kinds of, and some of it was kind of wild. And but he was just, people were telling it over the lines, over the air, and people made fun of him because of that. But he is nothing to laugh at now, not at all. Not at all. He wasn't nobody to laugh at back then because what he said was pretty much right. And now the Alamo, I don't know if you've heard that, Bob, was the Alamo is getting the UN treatment, just like Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, that we've been to. Well, we haven't been to Mammoth Cave. I see one
nice
hole in the ground. One hole in a mountain is enough for me.
I will see Mammoth Cave.
I'm sure you will.
And
the
you know
UN
what?
Runs
Even
it.
If I have to take your damn ashes to it, mm-hmm. I'm going to Mammoth Cave.
Well, you'll go without me.
No, I took your ashes.
I didn't know I was going to get burned up here.
If we don't go to Mammoth Cave, you will.
Well, there we go. Anyway, UN, UNESCO, is that how you pronounce it? Does anybody know?
Yes.
Yes? Well, anyway, they're going to take over. They want to take over the Alamo to preserve it.
Well.
Did you hear that, Bob?
No,
I
didn't
the world
hear
pretty tight.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Alamo's a waste of damn time anyway.
Why is that?
Because
I've never been. I don't know.
I have. It sucks. It's a damn wall.
Why?
It's just a wall. One wall.
Just a wall.
Yeah.
I'd still like to be there. I would still like to see it. And
just
imagine.
You'll be very disappointed.
Wow. Just a wall up the front of the building, or is that not the front?
Yeah, the only thing that's basically original is the front wall. It's very disappointing. The first time I went, I was all excited about going. Got there and
said, wow.
So, Bob, when are you guys going to run all those progressive concerts, Boston and Houston? You know, unfortunately, I hired a new guy where I work. Guess where he came from? Boston.
Boston.
We got into it the second day he started.
Oh boy! Oh no! You got to be nice to these Yankees.
Well, you know, I mean, he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. He's just thinking's out there. But
awesome.
I'm trying to get out of Procurement land up here, quite frankly, so I can't really say much.
I know there's a lot of California and Northerns moving to Texas, so I hope they don't turn.
Marketing
some of it. So.
Those people down there. I mean, there's some of it that, you know, let's be real. The most of the population that's moved here has been basically illegal aliens. And with all them moving here or coming here, it's, you know, they believe in give me everything for nothing thing. You know what I mean? The majority of them. I ain't going to say all of them, but a good chunk of them. So, and they all move to, you know, bigger, you know, into the cities and the bigger counties. So, you know, I don't know. Will it change? I could see it possibly many, many years away.
Well, I shouldn't even say that, because as long as you keep letting them in, then I guess the faster it'll change. But if they don't change the immigration laws and shit, then it's going to be sooner than later.
Well, I hear the progressive cuts have really driven up the price of living down there in that area, too.
Nah. The cost of living down here is, you know, from people that I talk to that come from other places, the cost of living is still real cheap down here. You know, we don't have all these taxes. You know, we don't have state income taxes. We don't have where you pay taxes on your food like they do in other states. The housing market is not really, you know, to buy a house down here, I mean, to me it's high, but compared to everybody else, you know, other places, it's not, it's, the housing market's not high from what they say.
Now, that I would take. Now, believe me, I'm going through a housing thing right now looking for a place, and just to rent a room in certain areas of the city, you could pay anywhere from like $1,200 to $1,500 a month just for you. Not even an apartment.
No, I don't think the cost of living has gone up any much more. I mean, it ain't no different, you know, standard, you know, food costs have gone up, that type of thing. You know, but that's everywhere. Not just, you know, God, Donnie, you know, you go into the grocery store and you try to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's just basic everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
I noticed, too, though, down here, but I think it's kind of a lot of the food and stuff at the grocery stores here, that they tend to gone to more stuff that's grown here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, manufactured here, or produced here, canned here, you know, like, you know, just, you know, like, you know, peanut butter. If you go down the peanut butter roll, you'll see Jif and Peter Pan and all that, but then they get to these peanut butters that are manufactured and made in the state of Texas. You know, they're going to more of that type of deal. And it's a little cheaper, but, you know, I noticed that the last time I went to the store. There's a lot of shit that they're getting from here now. They're exporting it from other places. It's kind of hard to find a Libby's can anymore, isn't it, Peggy?
A Libby's can?
Mm-hmm. You know, used to, when you went in there, it was Libby's, Del Monte, and you know what I'm saying? Those type of companies. Well, now there's more. Like I said, they still have them, but instead of taking a whole shelf, there's only, you know, a small section of the shelf. The rest of it is different companies from you know, Texas. You know, different parts of Texas where it comes from.
Yeah, that's twofold. One is it's cheaper,
mm-hmm.
and you want to give your